This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students and in particular UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can go online at wvuafm.ua.edu. Or you can also download the MyTuner Radio app and just type in WBUA FM 90.7. We're probably midway through the semester with shows. I guess we've got maybe four or five more shows to go, maybe more. But if you have any ideas for upcoming topics, for show topics for the future, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wbuafm.ua.edu. I'll try to remember to give that email out during the show in case you have some ideas. It seems like we've done every topic under the sun, and then I just made a rhyme. But I'm always interested in new topics or something that is maybe trending in college mental health, because it's always changing. So if you have ideas or you just have questions about the show, our email is brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight, our show topic is one that I was talking to Greg. He's our executive director, and he's the guest tonight. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. But I was talking about, we have mentioned this in our meetings here at the Counseling Center, about what we can do to better educate students about what is a mental health crisis. And I think the reason we've brought this up is because of some of the issues we've had about people calling our own call therapists sometimes for situations that really aren't a crisis, or what we consider a crisis. So we're going to kind of go over that a little bit tonight with some more details. You know, while the word crisis sometimes gets overused, it's accurate in the case of mental health in higher education sometimes. And the good news is there's lots of resources available to help students, whether they just need a little extra support or find themselves in full-blown crisis. Getting and staying well can be difficult, but it's more important, you know, than any class, grade, or degree will ever be. Don't you agree, Greg?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is Dr. Greg Vanderwall. As I mentioned just a minute ago, he's the executive director here at the Counseling Center. I think you're also still the interim director of the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services, right?
They've even taken the interim off of that. So it's just director now. So.
It's a lot. And that's interesting, yeah. Because maybe a little bit later we can talk a little bit about their services and what they provide with regards to crisis services also, because I'm not really sure about that, to be honest.
Now, yeah, I can speak to that for sure.
First, tell the listeners, you've been on the show a couple of times in the past when we were in studio before COVID. And so you probably introduced yourself before, but for those new to the show, tell the listeners about yourself, your credentials, why you're interested in this topic.
Sure. So my name is Greg Vanderwall. I am the director here at our Counseling Center. I've worked for the Counseling Center for a little over 10 years now in different capacities. My training is in clinical psychology. I got my master's and my PhD from the University of Alabama. So I've been... I've been on campus in a number of different ways since about 2005. So been around. And I'm interested in this topic because it seems to be something that I deal with and our center deals with every day. It's a It's a huge piece of helping support students in college, unfortunately. But I'm certainly glad to be part of the team that helps students when they need it.
So. Yeah, a little something extra about Greg. You're from, is it Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Yeah.
But also, he's the father of four children, y'all. Four, which yep. I saw them out. We ate at the same restaurant last night, ran into each other. They're so good. Your children are so well behaved. Yeah, I notice that kind of stuff when I'm out at restaurants because, you know, you notice kids who aren't. Two girls and two boys.
That's right.
So yep. That keeps you busy, too. I don't know how you really manage all of it, especially now that you're taking on the collegiate recovery stuff.
Yeah, it's a day-to-day effort, BJ. And but I'll put a special shout out and embarrass him. My oldest son is a freshman here at UA. So if you see Peter Vanderwall on campus, give him a hard time.
He looks like you. He looks like you. It's been a long time since I've seen them, you know, besides standing out waiting for the bus. Because right. I've seen him a few times on the way to work, standing out waiting for the bus. And yep. Wow, that seems like a century ago. Yeah. What about, you know, with regards to crisis, which is what we're talking about tonight, I know a lot of us who take on call, like all of us rotate on call at some point here at the counseling center. And we've had incidences, I know, where people have called and didn't understand the services we provide. But mm-hmm. I can remember years ago when I started here, a lot of staff complained about taking crisis, taking on call. Yeah. And I remember talking about the importance of providing this service to a college campus, because there are some colleges who don't provide that service through their counseling center. Am I right?
That's right. And a lot of colleges are moving towards that. And there have been some companies that come out with like on-call services that can be used, but I think there's a real benefit to having people who are on campus, who know the campus really well, campus resources, are part of the counseling center, being in that role so that the students, when they're in that moment of crisis, can have that really good connection. They might be able to connect with that person again during the daytime when they're not in crisis. It creates a good bridge and support for students when they're at a point of high stress.
I think so too. I think I make a point, and I'm sure other counselors do too, I make a point to tell students that if you need to speak with someone, you know, after hours, and it is a crisis, I stress that, it is a crisis, that we rotate our own call. So it's one of us here at the counseling center. It's not just a national service. You know, right. Those are good too. But I just think it comforts students sometimes to know that it's one of us, because like you just said, we know the campus, we know the resources. If we had to go out, which is rare now, but if we had to, we could.
Yeah, exactly. That's another good point. Sometimes a student does need to be seen in person after hours, and we have the ability to do that with having our on-call be part of our counseling center services.
So. You know, speaking about going out and meeting students in person if we need to, that has changed over the years. It used to be way more regular. I don't know why, but why do you think that is? It's unusual now for us to have to actually go out and meet with a student in person, even though we will. So why do you think that's changed?
I think some of it has just been the growing relationship with other partners on campus. We have our university police department who I think is more and more understanding of student crisis situations. We have our on-call deans, our student care and well-being department. And so things that we might have had to be involved in before, where we're trying to sort out what needs to happen, a lot of departments already kind of know what needs to happen. And we don't need to be part of that decision-making process necessarily, at least on the front end. So I think that's part of it. I think a lot of potential student crises get funneled to us during the daytime now too, just because a lot of departments are aware of, you know, that's an easier way to handle things.
It's taken years to educate people across campus about this, about our services, when to call us. How has that worked? In other words, how hard has it been to educate everyone? You know, there's a turnover rate. I don't know what it is. I don't know really if it's high. I would imagine it's high on a college campus for faculty and staff even. So how difficult has that been to educate faculty and staff about our services and when to call us? What is a mental health crisis? You know, what constitutes a mental health crisis?
I think that's probably one of our toughest ongoing educational missions for the center. Because you said a few of the reasons where there's a lot of turnover. This information is out there a lot, but if somebody doesn't need it in the moment that they're seeing it, oftentimes they forget about it, lose track of it. And when a crisis hits, it's really sometimes hard to think through things rationally too. And just remembering where that information is and how to access it can be hard. So we're doing a lot of education on what our services are, and we do it again and again and again.
you have to do it every year because you've got turnover of not only students, but staff and faculty, like I was just saying, but it's like, you know, a new thing every single year. Yep. What really, when you tell people about a crisis, what do you tell people? Are there certain criteria that people need to meet, or the students, if they're listening, need to meet before they try to call us after hours or walk in?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think your point at the beginning about the word crisis, it's such a broad term and we use it for so many different things.
Yes,
that
yes.
I like to differentiate or make a difference between students who are experiencing high distress and those who are experiencing a mental health emergency. And when we talk about crisis, we're talking about a mental health emergency. And so these are things that you can really put in the category of this might be life or death. So if you're feeling that you're a danger to yourself, if you're having suicidal thoughts or have engaged in any sort of steps towards attempting suicide, if you've harmed yourself in another way, if you're worried about harming somebody else, that's another life or death thing. And then really significant stressors, like if you've experienced a significant trauma, like a sexual or physical assault, if you've been hearing or seeing things that other people do not, or losing contact with reality, or if your life is currently in danger in another way, like due to domestic violence or withdrawal from substances, lack of access to basic needs like food and shelter. Those are the things that we consider a mental health emergency, and those would be really good reasons to contact our crisis services, either walking in during the day or getting our on-call counselor involved after hours and on weekends.
That,
I think, is different than just being in high distress.
Is there a place that this is that you described? In other words, in our pamphlets that we hand out to students, new students who come into the counseling center, or any kind of branding that we use, is this stated? Do we define what a crisis is? Is that stated anywhere?
We do very broadly as kind of a life or death emergency.
I should know this. That's embarrassing that I just asked that.
Fine.
I just realized that.
You're fine. We do. There's a few places where we've spelled it out in that detail. But oftentimes we don't have the space or room in our publications. And we always want students to err on the side of caution.
Okay.
And I think sometimes when we define things too tightly, you might miss some people. So,
you might. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hey, let's take our first break. And when we come back, I want to ask you if you can give some examples of non-crisis calls that you've ever received. I can tell you some of mine.
Absolutely.
Catherine may be able to chime in on that, too. So just some very odd or just non-crisis that you would be like, you call me at 2 a.m. because of this, you know. So we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Greg VanderWaal, the Executive Director of the Counseling Center. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We're talking tonight about educating students on what is and is not a mental health crisis. And my guest tonight is Dr. Greg VanderWaal. He's the executive director of the Counseling Center here on our campus at the University of Alabama, also the director of the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services. And when we started the show, Greg, you mentioned, I actually wanted to ask you about how crises are handled for the Collegiate Recovery Program.
So they do not have like an after hours on call or anything. They are able to deal with substance use crisis during the day if a student does need to walk in. But they have three clinicians over there who are often, their schedules are full. So they have less capacity to handle the crisis in a regular way. And so actually we do at the Counseling Center tend to be the ones that are at least that first contact for a substance use crisis potentially. We've often had students come in at our center and then we get them connected to the Collegiate Recovery Services because that's where they would be, have their needs best served.
Yeah, a lot of times, many times, we are the first, you know, line of defense in a crisis. And then, like you said, then we can get them to maybe more specialists if that's needed. Okay, so what are some non-crisis calls you've received that just really are not even close to a crisis? Can you think of any?
Yeah, I can think of some that are funny and some that aren't necessarily funny. I think the funny ones are people who are calling at 2 a.m. wanting to schedule an appointment.
Yeah, no, anger me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's hard not to be if you get woke up in the middle of the night for that. But just needing information about our services or wanting to schedule an appointment for another day, that is something you can handle during the day. That is not a crisis. I think some other ones that are more common, sometimes students call just because they're upset about something. Something happened, a significant event, a breakup. They might be having some high anxiety about things. And while that feels like a crisis in that moment, because it's a lot of stress, that's not typically what we define as a mental health crisis.
That's right.
And we've got lots of other ways to access our services during the daytime that could be helpful in those situations. What about you, though? Any crazy
ones? Well, I was going to say, wrong calls sometimes. I mean, we've all gotten wrong call, wrong numbers in the middle of the night. But a couple of times I have got, maybe this is TMI, but I have gotten calls that really should have been police related. Like I remember one time getting a call from a student that was just patched through to me and he was drunk. He was drunk.
Yep.
And it was not a crisis. It was, you can't talk to a drunk person, y'all. And it just didn't work. That was one that stuck out. But then, like you said, wanting to make an appointment. And sometimes I would joke. I have joked with students before, and they get it. And I'm like, I live in the attic of the counseling center. I never leave this office. Because they really, sometimes they think that we're like in-house like that. I mean, I've had some ask me. I don't know where that happens, but on a college campus, I don't know. I've never heard of that. But
We can't be a concierge service.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Well, don't put it out there yet because never say never, right? What about people who do you have students, and I don't know how to ask this other than this, who abuse the service?
I think occasionally we get into patterns with some students, and I think those typically look like a student may be appropriately engaged our crisis services, but then we've worked to get them connected to the the right avenue of resources for them, whether that's counseling or referrals and all of that. And then they continue to not take advantage of those, but then come back when they're in crisis. And I think that does a disservice to the center, certainly, but it does a disservice to that student as well if they're not following through with recommendations of things we know would be beneficial for them and continue to follow that pattern of just reaching out when they're in crisis. So that's the biggest way I've seen it be abused. Thankfully, most of the time, we're able to kind of educate and correct if we need to, and that doesn't become an ongoing problem for students.
Yeah, I've seen in the past where other departments, I don't know if I would call it abuse because I don't think they're meaning to do it, but they have called us because they just didn't, they knew we would answer. Like, we always answer our own call, you know, calls from UAPD. And so sometimes I have felt like crisis got dumped in our lap when it was not really appropriate, and I've had to help with that maybe resource.
Yeah, I think that does happen, and that goes back to how we educate people, how we help our campus community feel more comfortable talking to somebody who might be upset. Sometimes it's just that. Somebody's upset in front of me. I don't know how to handle this, so I'm just going to pass it off. And the reality is we all can learn how to have a conversation with somebody who's upset, how we can kind of help them think through things, identify ways to have small solutions to whatever issues going on, or make a good referral rather than a panic referral.
That's right. That's right. Do you have any statistics on how many on-call, after hours on-call crisis we are fielding now, as opposed to, I don't know how many years ago, last year even, or 5 years ago?
It's a great question. So right before the pandemic hit, the fall of 2019, we had more crisis calls and walk-ins than we've ever had as a center. Now, with the onset of the pandemic, those dropped significantly. The calls and the and it's slowly been building back up. So far this year, compared to this time last year, we've seen about 8 or 9 more crisis appointments than we had before, which represents, if I'm doing the math off the top of my head, maybe like a 15% increase compared to last year. We've also seen a change too, because we've, in the last couple of years, we've offered other more immediate access points for students who aren't experiencing a crisis, like our same day consult appointments. So where students may have been using crisis services inappropriately before, we can more correctly funnel them into a option that works for them.
Talk about some of those. You mentioned it a minute ago, some of the some of the services that are provided during the day. So mention those for our listeners.
So we've got a number of ways you can access resources at the counseling center. One, it's a single session, 30-minute appointment. We call them same-day consult appointments, mostly because we only schedule them day of. So if you're wanting to talk to somebody, you can call and schedule one of those, most likely for today. If not today, first thing tomorrow.
And are those by phone and in person?
Right now, they're both.
And or? Okay.
Yep. You can have that by phone or in person. And it's no strings attached. You can use it to problem solve an issue or ask questions or maybe just learn a little bit more about what resources are available. And you can use those whenever you need them. And that's a really good option. We also offer individual counseling for students. We do operate from a kind of a short-term treatment model. We try to be very goal-focused with our students, help them work towards those goals and get back out and be successful students. But if you're wanting that, you can call and schedule a screening appointment. And that's like an intake would be at any other doctor's office. You fill out our consent forms and background information, meet with one of our consultation team members who kind of goes through a lot of your background, and then we get you assigned to a therapist. And you can work with that therapist to meet in a way that meets your needs. And that's a good way to get ongoing counseling. We do have, our counseling is limited. It's 15 sessions per academic year. On average, students use between 5 and 6 sessions. So most of our students aren't meeting that many. And they often will come in and meet with somebody regularly and then spread things out and maybe just come back as needed. as they're in kind of a maintenance phase. We also have a lot of groups that we offer every semester. Those are free and unlimited. You can use as many of those as often as you want. We have a list on our website of all current groups that are functioning. And I always tell students, if you're interested in a support group, but you don't see one for the area you're interested in, call me. I'd be glad to talk with you about how we can get something like that started.
So. Definitely. We're always open to new ideas with groups. Yeah. I mean, we've had more hires here. We've got more therapists. So that always helps spread the love. And, you know, the cost of counseling is substantially lower than out in the community, too. The, you know, the screening is free. And then every session after that is $15. It goes on your, if you're listening and you're a student, it goes on your student account. We never ask to pay here. We don't have that capability here. Thank goodness. You know, what about, you know, would there, you mentioned groups, would there ever be a time, and maybe this is a strange question, but I know some other counseling centers are doing this, I guess, to try to get people in sooner. And I want to ask you about the wait time too, but would it be ever a possibility to have groups instead of individual counseling?
Yes. You mean for a student who just wants to do group and not individual?
Well, yeah, but not even offer individual and only offer groups.
Yeah.
That's not my idea. I just know some places do that, and I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah, some places do that. Most of the time that's out of necessity, where the demand for counseling services far outweighs the resources that are available.
I don't think we're there yet.
No, and in fact, I think we're moving in a really positive direction. You mentioned we're getting some more positions. We're growing our center to be one that I think is more of an appropriate size for a university our size. We're basically 40,000 students this year. And so we did need to grow a little bit, and we are. And that's good. That's positive. That's allowed us to do things like make these same day appointments available for students and be more involved in educating the campus on these kinds of resources.
What is the wait time for the first appointment? How does it stand right now?
Yeah, right now you can get an appointment within a week for a screening. That's
remarkable, especially at this time of the semester. We're at midterm. It's October and April. From a statistic standpoint, are October and April still the busiest months? And are they the busiest months for crisis also?
Yes, that tends to track, BJ. Those months are the busiest. Now, I would say November and March are also very busy, but they often have they have the Thanksgiving week and spring break week. So the statistics are often a little off because they're just shorter months.
Shorter. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you're coming up to midterms, pretty much through finals tends to be the busiest times. And so the fact that we're able to have some availability for new client screenings within about a week at this point in the semester is a real big win in my opinion. And
Do you find that there are more crises prior to a holiday, like the holidays, Thanksgiving, winter break, when everybody's going to be home with their families and stuff?
I think we do see some there, but I still think the biggest spikes we have are at the beginning of the semester, midterms, and final. Beginning of the semester tends to be, I'm here, I'm getting started, and I'm overwhelmed. And then we still do have a lot of crises that crop up in those really stressful times of the semester.
Mm-hmm. Let's take our second break. When we come back, I want to talk about supplemental services, and I'll explain what that means in just a minute. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about educating students on what is and is not a mental health crisis. I want to remind everyone, if you're listening and you have an idea for a topic for an upcoming show, please email that topic idea to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also email any questions that you might have. And Greg, we might have a question just a minute if you'll take an email question. Dr. Greg Vanderwall is our guest tonight. He is the executive director here at the Counseling Center. We're talking about not only crisis, but services here on campus for University of Alabama students. And we only provide services for undergraduate and graduate students, right, Greg?
Correct. We can offer services for distance ed students as well if they are in the state of Alabama.
Right. And that's because our license, correct, most of us have a license only in Alabama, so we can't cross state lines. And a lot of people don't understand that, but that's just how it is.
Yep. It is.
What about, I mentioned before the break, supplemental services. And what I mean by that, can you talk a little bit about the service of Together All, which is offered and mentioned on our website, and also Crisis Text Line? I am shocked about how many students still do not know about Crisis Text Line, which I was not for that in the beginning. I thought, I was just skeptical. I'll be honest. I was skeptical. Yeah. But then I had them, the SGA here on campus was instrumental in bringing Crisis Text Line to our campus, and I invited them on the show. That was way back when. Mm-hmm. And they sold me. I was like, this is the most wonderful idea ever. So talk a little bit about those supplemental services.
Absolutely. So Crisis Text Line, I think, has really found a really good niche in helping students. It's a I think a lot of students often feel more comfortable reaching out through text this day and age. And so it's a really good place to start for that if you're uncomfortable picking up the phone and call. And you are texting with a trained volunteer, so you're not working with somebody who's local or a licensed mental health professional. But this is somebody who's been trained to help kind of talk through a various number of crisis experiences that they're having.
And if it accelerates or gets worse, there's a backup plan. Right?
Correct. So they have all of our local resources. And so if we do need to engage that, they know about that and they can get them involved with our on-call services or have them come into our center. So it's a really great resource. You just, I think it's 74747, text BAMA to that number. And it's quick and simple. And then you mentioned Together All. Together All is another supplemental service I'm really excited about. It is an online anonymous peer support community. So this is a community of other college students from UA and around the country who are engaging in providing support for each other and asking for support. And again, it's in a format that I think a lot of students are familiar with. It's kind of like Reddit, where you kind of put out a question and then you have people respond and you can interact through that. And so a lot of people are comfortable doing that. It has that added element of peer support, which can be a really vital piece of supporting mental health and well-being in the college population. Mm-hmm. And it's a place where you can be anonymous too, where you might feel like you could be more open and direct about what you're going through. And that also has some backup plans in place that if a student needs additional resources, staff for Together All can step in and engage with the student and make sure they're getting connected to those helps.
So some people have some training that are monitoring it.
They actually have wall monitors that are licensed clinicians. So they have a background in mental health.
That's wonderful. Yeah. What about any other services you can think of? I don't think I can think of any more other than that, that just are offhand, you know, quick.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants right now, you know?
Yeah, we used to connect with something called WellTrack, but that was just kind of like a online education resource and had some tools. Together All has very similar educational modules and tools. So for those of you who may have engaged with WellTrack before, I'd encourage you to check out Together All. It has very similar.
And that is under one of the headings, under one of the drop-down menus on the Counseling Center's website. It's counseling.ua.edu. There's also some other resources provided. I think, is it the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline? Is that all?
Yeah, we there's an online suicide prevention training called Ask, Listen, and Refer. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of self-help content on there. I will say, too, Together All is listed in Blackboard. If you're in Blackboard, there's an assist button on the left-hand tab. If you click on that, you can get a direct link to Together All as well. So
that's just very accessible. That's helpful. Are you ready to take an email question?
Yeah, please.
We've already kind of touched on this a little bit, but this is from someone who asked, there's two questions. Can a problem turn into a crisis due to poor coping strategies?
I think so. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage people to reach out early if you notice yourself struggling, because if we catch it early, we can put things in place that help a stressor or a problem from escalating into a crisis. And I think we can get in that pattern of we're dealing with an issue poorly and we engage maybe in poor coping strategies. A common one on college campuses like drinking or engaging other drug use. And that just exacerbates the problem. And yes, that can lead to a crisis if it's not handled. It's not inevitable that it does, but.
No, and sometimes it happens here. We might have a student come in for a screening and we really don't have any kind of warning or anything like that. And I have had this happen, and I know you and Catherine have too, where we're doing the screening and it does turn into a crisis. Yep. It does escalate at some point.
Yep. It can absolutely happen.
Okay, second question. What's a simple way for me to determine if my situation is a crisis rather than an unexpected problem? You touched on this a little bit with regards to, I guess, distress versus a crisis.
Yeah.
But what are some cues? You know, like, I guess, well, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, no, a great question. A couple of thoughts come to mind. One, I think, if you think about it from the perspective of safety, if you're feeling really unsafe, either you feel like your life is threatened by yourself, by something else, that might be a good indicator that that's a crisis. If you're experiencing something like a sudden change in mood or anxiety level, if you notice some patterns of behavior that you don't like, or you feel like you're expressing your distress more, that's more distress than crisis. One of the common ones that I think people feel like are a crisis that we wouldn't define is like if I'm having a panic attack.
Yes.
That feels like a crisis. It absolutely does. But, you know, some simple things like some deep breathing, grounding techniques, kind of paying attention to your senses and what's going on around you can really help in that moment. And if a student comes to us experiencing a panic attack, that's what we're going to do with them to kind of help calm the situation.
Is when we go out and speak to classes or organizations or groups, is this something that is talked about in our outreaches? I mean, I can speak for myself, and I really, honestly, the outreaches that I have done on campus in the past, I really have not talked about or felt a need to talk about what a crisis is, because I don't feel like we had as many as we're seeing now.
I think we're doing it more, and I do think it's a good idea, especially when we're talking about our services, to add in that little bit about helping identify what is the correct resource to use depending on the problem I'm having.
Because you're right. When you mentioned just a minute ago, you want to be careful and not deter people and not help, I worry about them understanding, you know, what is a crisis, but don't worry about it. If you think you're having a crisis, it's safer just to go ahead and call.
Right.
We'll let you know.
We will. And we may help calm you down and then say, let's get you scheduled for an appointment.
Definitely.
Because part of, if everybody treated every distress as a crisis, we'd be overwhelmed and we wouldn't be available to deal with the true crisis that are going on.
It'd be awful. You know, this was a dilemma back when I was doing my research for my dissertation, which was a while ago. And, my dissertation was on counseling center services. And one of the things I came across a lot of articles talking about how problems have gotten worse, at college counseling centers. But then some of the argument was made, have problems really gotten worse, or are services just more accessible? And so you're seeing more people use the services.
Yep.
Would you agree with that?
I think it is a tricky, I think you've identified the crux of why it's a tricky problem to answer. Because, yes, I do think in some ways stressors have changed on college campuses. I mean, some are universal, adjusting to new things, dealing with the stress of academics, trying to make sure you're taking care of your well-being.
Yep.
But like things like our relationships and our social engagement have changed so much with social media. We're learning how to navigate that. We've had a lot of societal stressors. COVID's a big one. But just kind of the general financial state of things and shifting job landscape. So there's a lot of stressors, I think, that are different now than they were 20 years ago. But I agree. I think some of it is, I think, we've got more students on campus.
Yes.
I think our resources are more visible. I think stigma for seeking services has decreased. So all those are good problems. But then I think there has been some increase in general distress too.
Yeah, that was my next question. Just answered it, the stigma.
Yeah.
It's not most of the time now, and this was unheard of even 5 years ago, really. But most of the students I see now have had some sort of intervention, whether it's seeing a counselor one time back at home before they come here or whatnot. So
those numbers have steadily increased for students who come to our center. Mm-hmm. The percentage of them that have had previous mental health treatment or experiences.
Yeah, I don't think it's seen as taboo.
Yeah.
It once was, you know. Okay, here's another email question. Does the UA, this is a good one. Does the UA Counseling Center have a crisis hotline?
So this is not a crisis hotline. It is on-call crisis services.
Yes.
So it's really important, I think, to remember that that mental health emergency is a really good reason to reach out to that on-call.
Yeah, the next question, there was the same person. What's the difference between on-call services and a crisis hotline?
Yeah, I think a crisis hotline is a place to go to if you want to chat with somebody. And it may be, and the National Crisis Hotline is a really good example. You may be experiencing a suicidal crisis. Some people engage that, but you don't have to be. And they can be available for, I think, a broader range of discussion issues and opportunity to just talk with somebody. But that's not meant to be the purpose of our on-call services. We will help deal with the mental health emergency and then help you navigate to the resources in the center so you can get counseling and support that way.
Sounds good. Your history, your background is in sleep disorders. Am I right?
In graduate school, yeah. That was where my research was, yeah.
How, and you know, I think a lot, I say this all the time, but I think I see a lot of students who come in. I don't know if it's a crisis. Would you consider some sleep issues a crisis? Have you seen people in crisis because they can't sleep for days, you know, or something like that?
I do think significant sleep deprivation can make things feel like a crisis. So it can certainly contribute to that. Sometimes the best solution for a crisis is getting a good night's sleep and getting some food in your stomach. And I think that emphasizes just the importance of taking care of yourself as just a preventative way of hoping you never get to that point.
Yeah, I feel like it's just, we're just like a broken record sometimes with self-care, you know, but it's true. Okay, let's take our last break. When we come back, I want to ask you how family and friends and faculty and staff can help identify a student, you know, if they're in a crisis. So hold that thought. We'll also talk about maybe some more resources or ideas if you're interested. But we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about educating students on what is a mental health crisis. And my guest is our executive director here at the Counseling Center, Dr. Greg Vanderwall. Greg, how can friends, family, faculty, staff help a student if they are in a crisis?
Yeah. I think if somebody comes to you that they're in crisis, I think there's some simple things that you can do as a community member. The first is be willing to listen. Sometimes somebody who's experiencing a crisis or is really distressed just need a listening ear. And it can be uncomfortable if you're not used to doing that, but it's one of those skills you can build by just allowing yourself the opportunity to do it. And being willing to listen, to use that good active listening, make sure you're talking in person, giving good eye contact. If you don't know what to say, just kind of reflect back to them what you've heard. And sometimes just hearing that you're being heard if you're in distress can go a long way. I think it's okay to remember that you can ask questions. You don't have to worry about upsetting somebody by asking a question. If somebody's in a crisis and they're talking to you, showing support, showing interest in them is generally going to help them feel better in that moment. And then I think making a good referral, knowing the resources that are on your campus,
that's right,
in your community, and being willing to encourage somebody to seek those out is sometimes a really helpful step in supporting those that may be struggling.
Definitely take some action.
Yeah.
Take some action when necessary. Do you have any ideas of any other resources? I mean, we've talked about the main resources, but any books or any apps, any podcasts even that you could think of?
Yeah, we talked about the Crisis Text Line and 988. Those are great resources. There are some good apps that I've used before, like Mind Shift or Calm. Those can be helpful. I like apps that help foster mindfulness. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about that specifically, but this idea of being able to ground yourself and be mindful in the moment can often help decrease distress in moments of crisis.
Yes, and not futurize so much. I get a lot of that.
Correct.
This age group. Mm-hmm.
And then exercise. Exercise is a really simple one, but it can often really help kind of change how you feel, help you calm, help you de-stress. And that's a good
A lot of good apps out there. I actually have a list that I've created for students, and I'll print those off or email them to the student. Yeah. And sometimes I'll just ask them to look at some of the apps that I send. But if they don't, mesh with those, if they don't like those apps, to try to just discover some on their own so I can add those to my list. And that helps. I mean, they like that because I'm really surprised at how many students don't really think about that. They don't really think about apps and downloading them on their phone, which they have with them all the time.
Right.
So I'm shocked a lot of times how many really don't utilize that.
Yeah, it's become a really good resource.
Mm-hmm.
There's more self-help. I mean, you can find so many videos on YouTube alone that can be really beneficial.
Yep.
There's a lot of great TED Talks out there on how to manage distress, how to deal with crisis moments.
So there you go. Hey, thanks for being on the show. That went by fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Now let's go home.
Sounds good.
That was great. Thank you so much. I hope it helps people who are listening. I think it's, I always like to publicize our services because I think what we do is very important and valuable. And I think we're appreciated on campus. That's changed too across the, over the years that I've been here.
Yeah, I do think that's growing and that's really encouraging.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, BJ. Anytime.
Welcome.
I love doing it.
No problem. I might have to grab you again, in the spring if I think of something else.
All right.
Don't forget our shows are recorded and podcasted on the Apple Podcasts, audioboom.com and voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on the Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. Greg had mentioned earlier about Ask, Listen, Refer. It's a suicide prevention training program designed to help faculty, staff, and students prevent suicide by teaching you to identify people at risk for suicide, recognize the risk factors, protective factors, and the warning signs of suicide, and to respond to and get help for people at risk. ALR training takes about 20 minutes to complete and can be found on the Counseling Center's website or at asklistenrefer.org/UA. So don't forget that. As always, I want to thank a few people who've made this show possible. Greg Vanderwall, he's helped, he's always supportive. My producer, Catherine Howell, my colleagues here at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff who edits our show every week, and again, my guest tonight, Dr. Greg Vanderwall. Don't forget, we're here next week. Our show next week is going to be really a fascinating and interesting show. I can't believe I've never had this topic, but and you may have never heard of cyberchondria and hypochondriasis. So cyberchondria is when you basically look up things on the internet, look up health issues on the internet, and it causes you to panic. And I get several students every year who kind of do that. So this should be very interesting. I can't wait for this show. Join us next week, same time, same place. Thanks again for listening tonight. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.